Blog Talk Radio.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kissed his lungs. My dad is not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knees. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the tab, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day. And it's on the way. We just marched a million plus the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's head. She knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry. Go ahead and cry, cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new
day.
World order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast. And there's no need to fear, cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep, tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry, the times dictate a plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
day. A change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win, shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart, somehow might see, there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me, it's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change
day.
Of mind for the human race.
It's a new day. It's a new world order. Maya Hotep, Better Love. We have Eric with us tonight and Baba Kintu. And you are listening to the Truth to Power show with Beverly and Eric. Eric, how are you doing this evening? Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Party over there.
That's my fault. I didn't hear you. I just opened the line up.
I say,
how you doing, Eric?
I say, you over there stirring it up like Bob Marley. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, wow, yeah.
Go ahead,
talk about it, man. How you feel on this Venus night on this?
I mean, I am, and we got Mercury retrograde and Friday 13th. So these are all the things that they're saying that we need to be afraid of. But I don't see that. You know, that 13 is a 4. That's strength. A strong foundation. What are you afraid of strength?
You know, 4 is so powerful. You have strong and mighty nations are afraid to use that number, either as a 13 or 22 or any kind of way you can come up with a 4. 31, they will not use it. I'm talking about y'all can look it up. They have nations around the world that's scared of that number. They don't use it. They think it's an omen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's always a beautiful natural. We in May, so of course May, we're gonna be on the Mayfield tonight, and we got the May weather, and we undefeated, and you know, we do this thing in style and fashion, and y'all remember during the 20s and the and so called Great Depression, the dances that was created out of the Black community, the you know, the places where you can come and get a good down-home meal, you know, or get even the sandwiches was deluxe. People were still dressing dapper and creating new dress styles during the Great Depression, so-called. People were jumping out of windows because they put their money in something that was parked on the side of the river called a bank. And black people was putting their money in the backyard. Not only Black, other cultures was too. People that came over here, immigrants that came over here, they were burying their money too. You know, they wasn't putting their money in no bank.
Right.
So, you know, it's all with us is always the natural, Bev. You know, it's always a safe path to take. It's always the natural course. You know, the truth always comes out. The numbers always, you know, take you on the true path, and magical things happen in the spare of the moment, unplanned. And so here we are again, you know, and boy, that Curtis Mayfield, that just set the tone. I would just like to keep on that vibe right there, you know. Curtis Mayfield, look at that. Just, man, look at that. Coming out of Chicago, Illinois, big up. Big up to all the Taurus. Big up to all the Venus, even Libras, too. Anybody that buy with that Venus energy, you know. Big up to Taurus energy and the Libra energy. And big up to all the family that's listening in and people that's going to join in later on, people that's going to listen to it later on in the broadcast, you know, maybe the months, years down the line. Respect and love and, you know, man, babe, what you want to do? You know, you want to get into some Curtis Mayfield? It's a mound table. Yeah, it's a mound table as usual. You know, people can come in with, you know, with their information and, express, you know, your feelings or whatever. You know how we do it, y'all. It's all good. You know, nobody should take anything personal. A lot of times I make mistakes in talking and people call me up and say, hey, man, you said this, man. That wasn't accurate. Okay. You know, that it's all good. I'll take that with grace. You know, thank y'all for, you know, keeping me on point. You know what I mean? I love that, you know. So most definitely, yes, that's Beverly. I don't want to over-talk. I just want to be here with you on this vibe, on this beautiful Friday the 13th, in the May weather, in the May fields. And, man, I've been picking berries, y'all. My gut is full of berries. I have information from nature from the berries.
Ooh.
You know, they're surrounded by thorns. So I had to actually, you know, like I do every year, some of the berries I visit every year, I actually talk to them 2 or 3 years down the line and already asked them if they would give me access, you know, without burying themselves deep down, you know, because I'm coming with much love and respect and honor. You know, I'm using the berries at the highest. I'm telling y'all about the promise that I made to the berries, you know, and they do allow me to pick many berries without getting stuck by thorns, you know. So, you know, it's a beautiful communication, and and anything that's natural that you can just talk about that's natural that has a good intent for the people, the nature will show up. So my belly is full of good, you know, blackberries, as we call them over here, the Mayberries, and I've been picking also the mulberries off the tree. So I've been eating low off the ground. and high up in the cosmos from the mulberry tree. Yeah. I have information from that.
Wow, right there. Yeah. So you've been getting downloads.
That's what I've been doing for years. Yeah, uploads. Wow. Uploads and downloads, you know, ins and outs.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Every angle. So,
that's
you know,
great.
And, yeah, yeah. But we all do, you know, I love the input from the family. That's why we have these mound tables. It's a beautiful thing, you know, and yet I just hope that it just continues to roll down the road, you know. It's a mound on wheels. You know what I mean? Many mounds. So, yeah. Tonight we started in Chicago, you know what I mean, the Cahokia Mounds with Curtis Mayfield. That's funny, in that song right there, New World Order, he mentioned Georgia because that's where he laid it down, in the place where the largest quartz crystal come up out of the ground, you know, over there in Georgia. So, I mean, okay. It's a beautiful vibe already, babe. You're already in the flow. Whatever you want to do, you want to drop another Curtis vinyl. I've been playing the impressions, boy. Yeah, go right ahead, babe. Let's keep going. Let's bring this May. Let's bring this May yam. You know, May inverted is yam. Do you like yams, babe?
Yes,
you know,
I love
a yam. Yeah, a yam has a different texture and taste altogether from a sweet potato.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
A yam is, yes, it does. That's right. So, yeah, you get that yam, boy. You put that yam in the oven, it get the bubbling, all that sugar be coming out. Split it open and put your favorite thing up in there. I know some people be putting butter in that yam. You know, it's all good. You know, put a little butter up in there, honey, whatever, your favorite thing. And man, have a natural munch. Either avocado with it or some simple like a mango and a yam, and you nourished up. You're not ready to go to sleep because your body accepts it well and easily digests. Have enzymes to help you digest and help you think straight. So yeah, y'all, we're in the May yam, all right? Yeah, we're gonna do some sweet yams and some Curtis Mayfield. Let's go ahead, babe. Drop your vinyl.
Okay, all right. Here we go. Where's Curtis?
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you held your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night,
Which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one?
Get down, baby, to the funky, funky.
That's Curtis Mayfield. Get down. We are in the field of Curtis Mayfield. May.
Babe, you got me?
Yes, I got you.
All right, then. Yeah, wow. Man, brother was working the congos and the bongos and the drums. And, yeah, you know, definitely sending a cosmic messages out there. You know, while Curtis Mayfield, man, a brother used to chill with Jerry Butler. You know, another just straight killer when it comes to holding the microphone, the straight vocals, you know, the straight singing, standing flat on your feet without a bunch of noise. So, yeah, the brother, you know, he's the true Curtis Mayfield. Then here we go, babe. Let's fly with this here. The brother, he got that mercurial energy, you know what I mean? The 80, Mercury, a master communicator, a Gemini, talking about Curtis Mayfield, June the 3rd, vibrating on that 3 energy. Yeah, what about that, babe? yeah, you know, he's hardcore with it. You know, a natural. So, yeah, and
yeah.
Speaking of 80, you know, there was a, and I'm going to move over to Kentucky for a minute. Let's travel a little bit. Over in Kentucky, there was a derby, and everybody bought out their best hats. And there was a horse entered into the race a day before because of a ethereal scratch. It was a horse called Ethereal something. It was Ethereal. I don't know the last name, but Ethereal got scratched. And they moved in a horse named Rich Strike, and the jockey name is Sonny Leon, or the Sonny Lion. All right, so here he is. They put him way over there at the end of the rope over there, number 20. You know what I'm saying? Put him in the twin, but he was in the perfect spot to be in the 20. You know what I mean? The 2022, they put him in the twin and the 20 spot, way over there. On the, just forgot about him. You know what I mean? Like he didn't even matter.
Right.
Not only did he end up winning the race, Bev, but like all the sports that we've been showing the people, that is all about the gold and nothing else, the golden one, having the mythology tied into all the events. And it's the same old thing. He was wearing number 21. The second horse wore number 3. The third horse wore number 10. And then, you know, that's okay. So far we got 6 and we got 1. And how do they make the 8 to make the gold? 0.618 is a portion of a formula of gold. So you have he's wearing number 21. He was in gay 20. So there's your 5. That's going to be your 5 from the 5 ratio, how you get gold from the number we talked about. 5 gives you 6. If you put FIVE down on a piece of paper and do the numbers, like, you know, like I do it,
right.
I have the Geometria system and they have other systems. I'm just talking about the basic, you know, alphabet system. And I'm just keeping it simple. And there's other systems too. And I like them all. But for this simple system, all you want to do is just write that down, and then it all plays out in the letters, you know. I don't want to spend too long on this, but anyway, they finished in the gold formula because the fourth horse, he was wearing number 13, and he finished 4th. So there go your 44 or your number 8 to make gold, 618, in the order of the race. They put it right there. So they just following the theme. They do it all the time. It ain't nothing new. And, you know, even the names is in order. Number 4, if you look at number 4, something like, I forgot the name of it, something like you're going to change, you're going to reestablish something. Oh, man, I forgot the name. But anyway, it's just a wise guy stuff. You know how you see they put stuff together to even put the name to fit in the place that they finished the race in, you know. So I call it beautiful. I call it beautiful because, you know, they're using horses, you know, it's all in nature, you know. Like I said, the berries, the horses, the monkeys, you know, the moon, you know, we got all this planetary, you know, different people know how to express these different vibrations in different ways. So that's what this mound table is for. You know, Curtis Mayfield is expressing his expressions, you know. Yeah, he telling us, you know, that we winners, you know what I mean? And, you know, we beautiful, you know.
Get
it's
down.
The makings of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get down, you know what I mean? The gypsy woman, you know.
Yes.
You know, yeah, all those beautiful tones that he left us with, you know. And just a natural mystic, and, yeah, I would just like to keep it flowing. If anybody out there want to vibe with us, you know, I could just keep talking about this stuff all day. It's about this gold, these gold formulas, you know. This is all over the place.
And
gold. That's oh, yeah, in that movie. Go ahead, Ben. What you going to say?
No. And I was just getting ready to say that we need to start to pay attention, you know, to all of this gold. It's like we're walking all over and we're not seeing these chunks of gold that's everywhere. And we got to start paying attention and using and picking up the gold.
Right, right, right.
It's like you say, it's everywhere. Now, what about the
right.
stone? What stone is for May?
Taurus. Boy, that's jasper. I know jasper. It's like the earth stones, you know, earthy tones and stones, you know, browns and, you know, tiger's eye, but a lot of agates, jaspers, you know, it all depends, you know. It all depends how you vibe, you know. That also May goes into Gemini too, so you know you're gonna have aquamarines and moonstones and different stones gonna be up there for the Taurus energy, the Venus energy, you know. Copper for sure,
mm-hmm.
copper. I could say copper straight off the bat, copper and gold because AU is in Taurus, and the word Taurus, the throat energy, so blue stones for the throat, the communication, you know. Taurus speak clear, you know, they speak, they mean what they say what they mean, you know what I'm saying, speak like a Taurus, they got their feet on the ground and they coming from their throat, you know what I mean, so yeah, y'all, if y'all have any Taurus in y'all life, y'all know how they are, people call them stubborn, but what it is, they clearing what they want to do, you know, they don't want to be wasting time, wasting money, you know, they not just going to throw money away, that's not a Taurus energy at all, that's the financial symbol in New York was the bull, Merrill Lynch. So to show you how they work the Zodiac
right.
through the nation building. Yeah, yeah, it's all in the nation building. It's the Zodiac. Y'all remember the original constitution was the clock of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody knew their position in life, what you was born to do. Then you won't be serving McDonald burgers and you're supposed to be a surgeon. You won't be on the ship going the wrong way and tell the people to throw me over because a whale prepared to take me on a 3-year journey in one day. You know what I'm saying? You won't go through all that pressure, but you're still going to come out a diamond no matter what. It's all divine order.
True.
But sometimes we put ourselves in those pressure situations and we out of order because we don't study ourselves. We don't study our number patterns, you know, our family patterns, our familiar spirits. They call them familiar spirits, you know. Some people look for the answer in a bottle for those spirits, and those spirits are distilled and will dehydrate you. So, Bev, I want to mention this this movie series, and then I want to open up the line for the fam.
Okay.
This series called The Man Who Fell to Earth. Oh, man. Have y'all talked about I don't know if Robert X has been on this or anybody. From
no.
Oh, man. This is Showtime. It's a Showtime series that's starting up. And I watched the first couple of episodes, and, man, fam, boy, they coming. You talking about a slap. Like I said, that S represents a serpent or it's pure energy. And if you just put that in your lap, put that pure energy in your lap, man, things will fall in your lap. I mean, this is a gem right here. This is a GEM, a gemstone for sure. This it's called The Man Who Fell. I think that's the title, The Man Who Fell to Earth. It's
okay.
The brother who played lately. He's one of the biggest. I forget his name, but he's been in a lot of big movies. But anyway, yeah, he played a good role.
So
where
did
he
come from? What is it about?
He came from a planet called Anthea. And he came with everything that he needs on this plane except water. Bev, man, y'all gotta, just like you said, pay attention. That's why Bev, you can, I'm gonna remind you coming up this week when Rob come back on to play the Gap Band, Oops Upside Your Head, all right? Because in that song, he say a lot of deep stuff in that song. He say, for one thing, he say, pay attention, sucker, so you won't repeat the same thing, that you won't make the same mistake twice. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a cold song, and we kind of that's where we at. Y'all remember Will Smith played in the movie called I Am Legend, Wild Wild West, I, Robot, where robots was out of control. You got to think of his movie history, Gemini Man, right? Gemini Man. Come on, y'all. Gemini Man. We talking about Curtis Mayfield of Gemini. It's the natural mystic. Just think about the slap. Is he getting our, if he telling us, man, y'all better pay attention. Y'all better pay attention. You know? Yeah, y'all, this is Men in Black. They're here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all peep game. The woman is over there chilling. She chilling, running everything. Y'all don't get that? Jada Pinkett over there with the pink jade, jeweled out, blinging, over there sitting quiet, running everything. Y'all don't know the energy have switched? So, yeah, it's a lot of natural things being done out here. A lot of people have their angle. And I'm just telling it from the angle how I see it through nature, you know. The nature gives it to me the purest where, you know, I hear a lot of people information and I never doubt or go look up information to find people wrong in their information. That's something I learned never to do. So what I do is that I just be still. Like I said, I be still in all situations, even if it's a panic, and I try to just see how nature is dealing with the situation. If nature told me that there's not a food shortage, then there's not a food shortage. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, I was in a forest today, walking around with my stick, parting the thick floor of the forest, and berries was down there on the floor galore. Everywhere I stepped, it was berries everywhere. Like I never seen this many berries before, Bev. Never. But remember, last year we had a freeze. We had like an uncommon or unordinary freeze last year, which froze the ground extra hard, like 8 degrees. All right. Mm. So I guess all that water from that nitrogen, man, boy, you talking about some nitrogen. You ought to see the figs, the pomegranates, everything is going berserk. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying these moments, man, walking in the forest and getting down these codes, you know, deciphering myself and being humble. I got cut by a quartz crystal, man. So, you know, I that was a deep message to me right there. You know, it's very personal. But, yeah, you know, these are living beings. Do not play. Do not play around. These are living beings. They are recorders. You know what I mean? So. I had an awkward thought, and man, that cord cut me deep in my thumb. So, I'm just telling y'all, don't. This is not a play thing. Don't play around. The berries I pick, they have vicious thorns. The grapefruits that's on the tree out here, they have a surgical cut. They'll make a surgical cut on you if you accidentally rub into one of these grapefruit thorns. You will be surgically cut open. I'm talking about barely hit your skin. You're going to be open. So, yeah, you know, you imagine the codes that's in those fruits. Like we did before, the word fruit also has the formula for gold in it. It's so funny that it says gold, you it, you know, FR. FR is a 618.
Right.
And then it says you it in the rest of the word. I just say, man, wow, look at that. And then you it is the five where you get to go from, the number five. Five ratio. Look at that. Just nature is just ridiculous. Mango, make you eat a mango and watch your man go. You know what I mean? Eat some okra and you'll be okay with the sun. The man who won the Kentucky Derby, his name is Sonny Leone or Sonny Lion. Come on, y'all. We in the age of Aquarius, which nobody talks about the Leo on the other side of Aquarius. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow.
The male lion have to keep his vigor because he's going to be challenged. The male is going to be challenged. y'all know how the lions run in the jungle. The young male, he have to dominate and rule while he can, because in old years he gonna get challenged by a younger lion, right? Even the females will put him out if he ain't of service no more. If he start missing his teeth, he's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
The females will put him out. That's Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Don't just talk about, oh, it's so sweet and it's so fly and so mm-hmm. fragrant over mm-hmm. here in Aquarius. No, no. Have you ever been in a flood or tornado? Like you said last week, that wind sound like a motor, like a jet engine from an airplane coming to move your
yeah.
house down
yeah.
the street to the people that you always talk about, the Palestinians, the Afghanistan. You going to be living in their front yard? Keep playing around. Don't play, y'all. Don't play. This is not a time to be playing, man. I got cut by a quartz crystal. I had a awkward thought in my mind, and I had this quartz crystal in my hand. And, man, it was a huge quartz crystal. It had a lot of points on it, and I grabbed it the wrong way, and it sliced my finger, man, deep. I said, whoa. Man, look at that, man. Look at that. I'm with these beings every day, and they want to let me know, man, this is not nothing to be playing with. They let me know that. That's my expression and my experience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is not a plaything. And we're going to have to learn how to communicate without these dumb phones. You know what I mean? We're going to have to use our SAIL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our SAILs, you know, our sails, the ones that travel
right.
on the water. Go ahead, babe. You want to talk, and I'm just talking.
No, it's interesting what you're saying is because it's a whole different language that's going on with nature, you know, like you're saying with the crystals, and they have a shortage of that man-made food, that, you know, the fake food, but the real food is plentiful. Like you say, it's all
that's
on
right.
the ground. It's everywhere. So why are we panicking over man-made food when all we have to do is go in nature and get all the food that we need?
Remember, Ben, we talked about it. All the boats that's out there on the water that supposedly can't get into the docks is garbage anyway. Come on,
yes.
y'all.
Yes.
you ever remember asking for something years ago and you forgot what you asked for? Maybe mm-hmm. all this stuff is for our good, y'all. Let
it
them
is.
Keep the junk out there. Go to nature. Nature is never going to short you. Nature don't charge you a mortgage. Mort means death. Ain't no death in nature. Come on,
that's
y'all.
Right.
Man, learn some of these plant foods that you can eat and be full for 3-4 days at a time. Hey,
and
hey,
then,
Bev, that.
Uh-huh.
That series, the man who fell to the earth. Hey, Bev, man,
okay.
y'all check that out. Boy, they talk about water, man. The way he said, man, our planet is valuable to other planets because of the water, Bev, and the
water
beings that's on it.
That's
huh?
us.
Yeah, that's us. That's
water?
Right. Yeah, man, the water here is so valuable, man, and a lot of creatures that are here to get it. And these technology are dehydration technology, man. They so cold with the better physics and the drops on the knowledge in that series, just like the rest of them. But I find this one because I think Rob did touch on this. The main scientist is a sister. You know what I'm saying? She got the formula, but she got that from her dad. Her dad is a genius, man. Y'all got to check it
okay.
out, man. I'll tell you, it's fierce, man. It's serious. And the stuff that they bring out, like the man Newton. He said, man, you gotta give the people this virus, man. You gotta give it to them. You know, this is the only way we're gonna be able to thrust ourselves into the future. You know, we got until about 2030. And then he said, yeah, you got to pass this virus out. Then he told him, he pulled out a cigarette and he said, man, don't ever smoke these, man. They got Freon in them. He straight put it right
no.
to kill you. The cigarette got Freon. He
wow.
said, if you ever do, because he's from another planet, you know, he ain't affected like we are. So he told him, if you ever decide to smoke one, make sure you use this lighter. And he showed him a gold lighter. He said, well, if you use this lighter, they'll know who you are. I said, oh, and then he went to the pawn shop. I'm going to say this. I don't want to give it all away. He went to the pawn shop.
Okay.
And he was looking for something to make a contraption where he could communicate to his home planet. And he in order to pay for what he needed, man, money was nothing to him. Money just blowing the wind. He don't even care. But he can throw up from his planet anything he needs. He bought a stomach full of gold rings. He threw up some gold rings and turned it in. That lady said, oh, you got about like $80,000 worth of gold, right?
Wow.
He said, would that pay for it? He didn't even care. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous, man. The gold is everywhere, man. I think the name of the pawn shop is Gold something. It's just, man, I'm amazed. I'm amazed how nature is always like, man, well, y'all just going to keep believing what y'all see on this. You can't – hey, Bev, here's a drop for y'all. His – sense of smell was intact. He can smell pregnant women. He can smell fear. You know, he was tapped in like an animal or a plant. You know, he can get his information from his sense of smell. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah, he'd be tripping people out. He said, man, he ran up on this one woman. He said, yeah, I don't sense any fear or animosity from you. You know what I mean? So, you know, he would tell people their vibration right off the bat. Then if you listen to something on the TV, he say, man, turn that off. Turn that off. It's wrong frequency. He real strong the frequencies. He real sensitive to sound. So if you listening to something, he'll say, man, play music, no talk radio. Play music, no talk radio. He keeps saying that. I'm telling you, man, it's deep. It's deep, man. He dropping everything that's going on the planet Earth. On his planet, it's what's keeping our planet dying. His planet is dying, too. You know what I mean? But he's letting us know the things that's going on our planet that's killing us. He's putting it right in our face. And it's simple stuff we already know, but he's putting it going deep like the water. The technology is dehydration technology. It's to make you dry. It's to dry your eyes out, to make you blind.
And it do. It do, because if you're a person that really works on computers all day in front of the computer, you will be so you will feel like you dry inside. You can feel it. You it had that dryness, that thirstiness. Your eyes will get to itching, and he's absolutely. I mean, they telling you that's true.
And what did they want on the movie Get Out? What did they want? They wanted his eyes. Your eyes.
To the soul.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He was a cameraman, you know?
That's the mind.
Yeah. Yes.
And another thing they talking about, too, is when they said about the baby formula, and I was like, that's a good thing, because that baby formula got so much chemicals in it that we give into our babies. And back in the old days here, we used to make our own formula. We used to use K-Ro syrup and pet milk, and we used to make our own formulas. That's what it's showing us to get back, like you say, to nature. Don't buy all that stuff they got, and you giving all them chemicals. Make your own baby food. Go get you some organic carrots and peas and put them in, make you bottles of them and put them in the freezer, refrigerator, and feed them to your babies. This is what you need, because they feeding them all that chemicals.
You know, Bev, when people from the city travel, and they travel to other places, and they end up somewhere that's way out in the country somewhere. You only see a couple of stores, and you stop off in a store. People got all them cans, they got all them jars of stuff up there, vegetables. And you be cracking jokes, man. I bet that stuff been up there for like 17, 18 years. You know what I mean? That's right. It has been, and it's the freshest food you can get anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, these people down here in the country, man, they got it going on. You know, people been preserving the canned food. People been knowing about this crisis coming for years. You know, this ain't nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
It's been many different crises. Like I said, these floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, volcano explosions. You know, people that live in these regions, you know, people that live on the islands, they deal with this stuff all the time. So, you know, you just have to be still, you know. That's what I could say, you know. We show you be still is beryllium, a beryl. A beryl stone is emerald, a green emerald stone, or a morganite, a pink stone. Pink is on the vibe for y'all ladies and for brothers who like the, you know, the red vibe, red, anything from red to pink, burgundy, maroon, all them colors right there. You know what I mean? This the vibration time right now for them colors. You know, get on it, y'all. It's man, yeah, so many natural codes. But yeah, Bev, we can move in any direction. Let's flip some more some music and let's get Bobby in or somebody call in or something.
Okay, because I don't see Bobby, so I don't know where he's at. And
you know what? It's still early out there. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's Friday and probably traffic. He also told me if he don't catch us this time, he'll come on next Friday. But I think he said he's going to call in. It's going to take him a while because, you know, it's Friday. He got his son. And so it's still early in the vibe. But let's flash some more. Yeah, let's flash some more.
Okay. We're going to go with Mayfield in this month of May. Let's see where we're going here. Okay.
this time, take another train. Don't care now what nobody say, I gotta take the pain away. It's getting worse the day by day, and all my life has been this way. Can't reason with the pressure, man. Finances, all that he understands. You junk and mama crash, you know. Would rip her, but I love her so. Love her so. We'll be right back.
We're vibing with Curtis Mayfield in this month of May. Eric and I, myself. Eric?
Yes, yes, yes. Man, I was over here stuffing my face. Eating some loroco. It's a cactus that that's in Mexico, in Central America, South America. Loroco. And, yep, and I'm having that with, you know, a little bit of salad on the side and
okay.
My berries. And, yeah, man, just vibing, man. This Curtis Mayfield, you know. I just love the drum, the percussions. Thank you for being so consistent on, thank us. But on Sundays, being consistent with the drum, you know, it's powerful. It's, oh, man, I mean, it affects so many parts of the body and the mind. You know, I can't just listen to it around anybody or anywhere. Sometimes I can't listen to it because I'm around people. I have to wait till I get in that right space and go back and listen to the mm-hmm. recording because, you know, not everybody's, you know, on the same wavelength. So, yeah, sometimes I just have to get off by myself with the drum and, yeah, get my little cookie can and in my gong and, you know what I mean, whatever I have available, my little rattlers, snake rattlers, and make some joyful noise,
yes.
You know? So, yeah, give thanks, babe. You know, we always talk about the tones and the sounds and the vibrations, but, you know, we got to just live it, you know, to be that, you know, be what we talk about, be that, you know? Yeah, a lot of people live in the city and now it's starting to not waste their money driving around, turning corners, you know, flipping corners and, you know, going, you know, now they spending their money and their gas tank to go out in nature, you know, and spend the day out in nature. You know, it's inexpensive. You could park your car, just be out there. Nobody bother you, you know. Most people have the same vibration that's out in nature. People, they just want to be left alone. You know, when you see people out in nature, I used to be in Colorado hiking way up in the mountains. I used to hike to the town of Marble. You know, that's where they make all the mm-hmm. monuments in Washington, D.C., and the Lincoln Monument, all that. They get the marble from this town in Colorado called Marble. I used to hike up there, and they got wildflowers that's up to your neck. You know, that's the wildflower mm-hmm. capital of Colorado. And I hike up there,
okay.
And I'd just be looking at the waterfalls. And, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, just being out there in nature. So, yeah, when you're out there in that vibration like that, it's a whole different, I mean, oh, man, all the stuff that they be reporting, you just be sitting back laughing at it, you know what I mean? Just laugh at it. You could just laugh at it. I know a lot of situations, just like I've been on lockdown before, but we had the people coming around in tanks, military people were coming around to our neighborhood feeding us, you know what I mean? We couldn't come out. I remember that happened right here during one of the hurricanes out here. So I've
okay.
been in those times, man, and it was different too. I mean, it was all of a sudden, you know, they just made the announcement, man. Nobody come out. We'll give y'all instructions on what to do, and then yep, they told us, you know, how many days, and you know, and then they came and dropped gallons of water off to everybody, and plenty of food and everything. But man, you couldn't come out the house. So I have been mm-hmm. in those situations, and it is mind altering. You know, it's humbling. You know what I mean? But even in the midst of that, man, you have to find some kind of way to remain calm. You know what I mean? You have to remain, you have to be able to think your way through. You know, some of these planetary alignments cause you to just jump off at the trigger and just do stuff and say stuff. You know, just like me yesterday, man, with that crystal, boy, I'm telling you, that was so real. You know, I said, man, you know, this is not a joke, man. These beings are living beings. Everything is living, you know. So you have to be careful what you're mm-hmm. thinking and what you're saying at all times. So yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing though. It's the evolution of it here. You know, we came here to Ma Tour. You know, we came out of Ma and we on a tour, and we already discussed that Tour, T-U-R-E, is Thor. You know, so it's just an alchemical process. Thor, T-H-O-R, is gold. You know, T-H is one, and O is six. And R is 1-8, 1-6-1-8 in the word Thor, you know, the lightning and thunder god, the hammer, you know what I'm saying, Thor, yeah. So, you know, it's all beautiful, beautiful and in order, it's all good. Well, what else you got? What
now,
you got bubbling over there, man? What's on your mind? What you got?
Well, what about your crystals, you know? How can people get crystals from you?
All right, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about feldspar. Remember I brought up, okay, I want to talk about that. I talked about feldspar. And since we keep getting in these moon cycles, let's deal with the first feldspar, moonstone. A lot of people vibe with moonstone. Not everybody vibe with moonstone. You know what I mean? But moonstone is a particular stone. It comes in different, it's kind of like a pearly, milky kind of looking, mineral. All the feldspars are layered. You know, when you look at it, it's like layers, like an amazonite. That's another feldspar, amazonite. These are, the amazonite was used in, decorations in the, some of the ancient archetypes, you know, over in, I could say Kemet and other places in the world, too. And amazonite was used in a lot of jewelry. And it's a beautiful aqua green bluish stone. And it's also a feldspar. Now, what makes feldspar interesting, Bev, is layered. So and it has its own geometry. So you say you have a geometric pattern on the top. And then as you go down, the crystal is kind of, they say it's kind of thick. And as you go down the thickness, you start at the top, the geometry is one way. And underneath that, it's the same geometry, but it's like be a little slight off to the left or a slight off to the right. Then you go down another layer, and it's another the same geometry, but then it's back going the other way. You see what I'm saying? So it's layered and layered and layers and layers. So any type of energy that's coming through feldspar, it has to go through the geometric layers, which is very hard to penetrate. That's why feldspar is recommended and these 5G technology and other technology. It also, don't forget mica. Mica is a major insulator, meaning you can keep heat in and you can keep heat out if you have mica. You know, they use mica on microwave ovens and subways and
what color
your plasma TV screens. Mica is, you know, it flakes. Mica is, it flakes. You ever seen that stuff, Bev? And it's just like I said, it's in layers. But if you touch it, it'll flake off. And sometimes it look like clear glass. Sometimes it look clear, like a quartz. But all you have to do is barely touch it and rub it with your finger, and it'll flake off. That's called mica. You know, they use it in a lot of different home products. I can't think of. It's everywhere. I mean, mica is so prevalent. I mean, it's used in everything. I can't really explain it properly in a proper context like you asked me right now. But you can look up mica, and it's what makes it. I'll tell you what, Bev. Granite. If you pull up granite and study granite, one of granite's main component is mica.
Okay.
So if you see a granite top, you see a granite countertop. Beautifully polished, you know, real fine piece of granite on somebody's countertop. If you look inside of it, you will see it makes it look like windows, you know, like you just keep looking, you know, into it, layers and layers and layers of shadows and windows. You know, that's the mica doing that. It's all layers. So we're talking about the feldspars. The feldspar is also a main component of granite. Quartz, feldspar. And a mineral called biotite and hornblende.
Mm-hmm.
Hornblende and biotite is what make up granite. And when you see that black granite, that hornblende and biotite. And there's granite garnet in it too. If you see like red granite, pink granite, you know some of that has garnet in it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean yeah, this stuff and that's what Georgia. You know, Georgia is basically a granite city. Yeah, California is a granite city.
Is it because a lot of it grows there? I mean, a lot of it is there. Is that why?
It's the geology. It's the heat, and the heat and cooling, the depths. You know, Beverly, a lot like I know a lot of parts of California is volcanic. Yeah, I can speak for that because I lived there. Off and on for many years. It's a volcanic region, so you know you'll see a lot of granite and basalt, different elements of that region. Why the granite is there, you know, but because of the geography and the geological makeup, every city and every state is different. Every continent has its own geological makeup. So granite is prevalent in a lot of places in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have some places have lime, sandstone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, I'm looking at mica, and it looks just like the granite top, you know, that you have.
Exactly. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what gives you that window in granite. It's the mica. You see what I'm saying? That's the window.
Yeah.
That's the same window that's on your TV, on your flat screen TV screen. That's the same window that's on your microwave. You know, when you're in a underground, you're going 90 miles in the subway. That's mica on the windows. You know, you know, it's used in so much. It's a big industrial stone. You know, along with dolomite. Mm-hmm. Dolomite is also a huge major industry in medicine, dolomite. So, you know, yeah, this thing is based on, like when I say, when y'all watch that man that fell from Earth, which I'm sure a lot of people have already is up on it and watched it, but, you know, they showing you, man, how he bought minerals here. He bought things that he can, you know, regulate with. He can make trade with. He can move around. He didn't have an attachment to any of it, but he just bought that here because that was the main source. He couldn't be denied.
Mm-hmm.
He coughed up all them gold rings. I said, man, look at this, boy. Oops,
yeah,
upside your head.
So what is this black tourmaline? What is that? Because that kind of got a certain look to it.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I love tourmaline. Not everybody vibe with every stone, but I vibe with that tourmaline, boy. And black one is called Shoral, which I really buy with that heavy black carbonated tourmaline, boy. But I like the matrix too. I like it in the calcite with the quartz mix too. You know, you have the beautiful black and white. As a matter of fact, at that market that I was at a couple of weeks ago, I tell you about that little boy. That's what most people wanted. They wanted that tourmaline, you know, because they like that black and white, you know. So which stimulates the gray matter in the brain. And tourmaline is also, a lot of people know about tourmaline for protection, you know. Tourmaline is also a layered, it's kind of jagged and it's kind of, you know, it has like bars. It had them bars, you see them bars in tourmaline? It had them round, straight bars, you know, like a wand. And so, a lot of people say that blackness on there will protect you, you know. It'll use it for protection. I don't know. You know, a lot of people say different things. I don't never tell a person what a stone will do because it might not do that for you. So, but I know people that have hailstones in their hand. I watched a man. I got witnesses. He held the stone in his hand and it started changing colors. It was a fluorite. It was already purple and green and blue. But when he held it in his hand, it started turning yellow and orange and red. And, oh, man, we was tripping, man. We said, man, look at this, man. He put it on the table. He said, man, now I'm going to pick it up. Look how it changed. And he did it again, and it changed again. So everybody vibration vibes different with these living beings. Yeah. Oh, you're serious. So, but the tourmaline, yes. If you're attracted to tourmaline, that's a heavy. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like tourmaline, but I'm attracted to a lot of them, but I really like the tiger eye. Now, what is that? That really pulls me to the tiger eye. What is that about?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they call pure quartz. It's only a few pure quartz, clear quartz. You have tiger's eye, you have amethyst, you have rose quartz, and then you have the chalcedony, which they call agate. But before I move on, the tourmaline, you know, the tourmaline is a 7.5. Your quartz is a 7. So, you know, quartz is heavily used in the industry and, you know, around the world, different, you know, many different communications, everything. And it's a 7 in hardness. So a tourmaline is a 7 and a half. You know, so it's a very durable stone, very durable tourmaline. And, man, they come and look at rainbow tourmaline. They looked at a rainbow tourmaline. It's a beautiful stone. The most expensive tourmaline is the green. It comes from Brazil. It's called Petrobol. The Petrobol tourmaline is the green one. That's the most highly sought after right there. That's way up there in the price range. But, yeah, tourmaline, that's a good choice. Yeah, you can study that and learn a lot about it. Yeah. But
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I sent you one. I might have sent you a tourmaline. It's the black and white one.
Yeah, I do have it. Yeah, I do have them. But you also sent me the tiger eyes, and I just, something about the tiger eyes that draws me to them.
Well, you know it. Over in Tibet right now, they have a tiger. They're in a tiger year in Tibet, and it's the dark water tiger. Okay, and you can do research on that. The dark water tiger of Tibet, and so like I said, once again, you just look how a tiger is the most fierce creature in the jungle. The tiger, he can roam for miles, babe. His territory is 500 to 600 miles. A tiger can walk miles and miles and miles each day and stake out his territory. He rule all that whole territory. So, you know, they don't have to move in packs.
Is he more powerful than the panther?
I wouldn't put them like in a competition where say one is better or one rules supreme over the other. But what I'm saying is when you're in the jungle and you're around a place that have tigers, the people that's around tigers, man, they will tell you, man, this joker is fierce. The tiger is a legend about tigers, man. People don't play with tigers. When tigers get a hold of you, like that, you become a part of their plans. Like they want to devour you. Oh man, you got something on your hands. They fierce, man. They super fierce. Yeah, they quiet. They move quiet and they patient. You know what I mean? So I would just study a tiger. You know, in martial arts, they have a lot of tiger philosophy. You know, a lot of people, the colors of a tiger. I see women always wearing a leopard and tiger stripe clothes.
Right.
You know, come on, I know it's powerful. I know. And not only that, it has just like the feldspars, it has windows. You know what I mean? It have those layers that you can just look into from, you know, the mirror just keep going and going and going. There's layers of mirrors in there. And the tiger's called chatoyancy. It's a chatoyancy, you know. And so, there's red tiger's eye, blue tiger's eye. There's a beautiful, I call it white tiger's eye, but it's so light, Bev, that it almost look clear, the tiger's eye. You know, there's all different kinds of species of tiger's eye. That's why I say, man, gem hunting, man, you could find a gemstone that is rare, that nobody ever seen. You could find them. You could find them, Bev.
Yeah.
That's what's so beautiful about gem hunting, is that you could find something that, you know, just like that horse, you know, that horse, man, he made it in at the last minute, and he ended up winning the race. He was way out on the outside in number 20. You know what I mean? He started in the very back and shocked everybody.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's the day. That's the times that we're living in.
Yeah.
That's the times that we're living in. You know what I mean? Where the miraculous can happen. Anything that can happen, they call it Murphy's Law, right? They show you that in Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember they talked about the wave? I remember Dr. Delbert Blair, man. Oh, man. What a person we had in our midst. Dr. Delbert Blair. I always talk about a mer. A mer is a wave. And in that movie Interstellar, he named his daughter Murphy. Anything that can happen will happen. And he was up there with that robot. And that robot was remember that robot was making jokes, but he wasn't joking. He told him, I'm going to make y'all going to be in my colony. Remember the robot was telling them, y'all going to be my colony. I'm going to make y'all my slaves. That's what the robot was telling them. And they put him on quiet again. They said his comedy meter was up too high. They turned him down, but he wasn't playing. But anyway, in that movie, they throw food on Saturn, and that big wave came, that huge wave, talking about Mer, a wave. So, yeah, the man who fell to Earth, he talk about the wave, talk about the flood, Mr. Flood. They repeat flood many times in that movie, flood, Mr. Flood.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, most definitely, y'all. You know, nature. But once again, though, we are water beings. Remember, Dr. Darryl Blair also talked about the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland at one time was a gill. You know, the human beings here, had gills. The females still have a gill. the thyroid. And you have to regulate it. You know, iodine is one solution for the thyroid, but then there's other information inside of plants, inside of rocks, you know, inside of dreams, inside of your children, inside of strangers that can unlock these mysteries and tell you what you need to do to survive the coming events. You know, nature always have a solution. Just like D-Ro told us, hey, I was walking in the woods with D-Ro. He said, E, you see that poison ivy right there? I said, yeah. He said, if you put your hand in it right now and you get an allergic reaction, this jewel weed, it, listen, it's called jewel weed, jewel weed, right next to it. He said, E, all you got to do is rub this jewel weed in your hand and that itch from that ivy away immediately. Y'all know I had to try it. You know I had to try
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I mean. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get affected by it. It didn't even affect me. So,
okay.
And then ferns, eatable ferns. Oh, man, he showed me so much food up there. It's called perennial, which means nobody plants it. Nobody takes care of it. It just grows on its own. It's a perennial food garden. That's all up the East Coast, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Delaware. It's all perennial, just food everywhere.
And they're talking about
coming out of quartz rock. The food is coming out of the quartz rock.
Okay.
and I like your guest coming on talking about the humic acid. I want to vibe with that just for a second. That's why I asked last week for D-Ro to. I like to talk about this. I was up there on a trek with D-Ro, and he took me to a sacred place. And then you could tell people haven't been up there for maybe, you know, thousands of years maybe. And but it is a sacred mm-hmm. site. You could tell that we had to take our shoes off. It was like real, real sacred. So anyway, I was looking at the grass. Damn, it was grass like I never seen before. It looked artificial. It didn't look real. I kept looking mm-hmm. at it. I said, man, I bet this grass glow in the dark. But, you know, we was in a place you don't want to be up there in the dark. You know what I'm saying? There's wolves and all bears.
Right.
But anyway, and then I lifted up the grass to look at the dirt. It was the blackest dirt I ever seen in my life. Then I took my hand and lifted up the patch of soil, and it was a big old used quartz crystal up. I'm talking about the quartz crystal was bigger than a car. Because D-Ro explained, I said, we walking on quartz. He said, E, we on a 6,000-foot mountain that's straight up quartz crystal road. I got a picture sitting on top of it, a rose quartz 6,000 feet high, rose quartz crystal. Wow. I'm sitting on it. I took a picture. So anyway, once I seen the crystal, you know what I did? I said, man, I'm about to have me a sandwich. So in between the green grass and the clear quartz was this black, humid soil. Babe, I took a chunk with my hand. D-Row was looking right at me. I took a chunk, a big, fat, huge chunk in my hand and shoved it in my mouth and chewed it up and swallowed it. And D-Row was cracking up. D-Ro was cracking up. He said, well, when we get on the radio tonight, it's going to be on. Boy, I'm telling you, man, we got visited by creatures, man. We got we had this call with you where the caller said, Lincoln. Hey, Lincoln, is that you? Remember, caller from the 111. I'll never forget. K-Genius, D-Ro, you, Bev, and myself. Caller from the 111. She came on. She said, Lincoln, is that you, Lincoln? You know, she thought K-Genius was somebody that she knew called Lincoln. Okay.
Right.
D-Ro took me to a – yeah, that's right. I visited Vermont one year, and D-Ro took me to – he said, E, I'm a blow your mind today. We're going to go with Madeline's parents because Madeline's parents is from Peru, some indigenous Peruvians, little short people, indigenous people, ancient people. I went hiking with them, man. They blew us away, man, the way they hiked them. They were up in their 80s, you know, 70 seniors, you know, hiking the mountains with no problem, man. We were struggling, breathing hard. I'm like, wow, man, this is a trip because they live in the mountains. You know, they live in Peru. So we're going up these mountains, and that's where I noticed all that quartz, you know. So, yeah, I just, man, I don't know, man. It just blow me away just to think about it. Like, I'm walking up there right now. I can smell it. I can remember the trail going up, all that. You know what I mean? Just all the quartz crystal glittering, you know, through the rocks. And I'm like, man, this is just ridiculous, y'all. Mm-hmm. You know? But anyway, after I took that dirt, like I said, so much down. But then I'm going to get back to Lincoln. So then I came back home, and D-Ro called me one day. He said, E, man, he said, man, are you sitting down? I said, what's up, man? He said, man, you know, man, Wayne, we got this friend named, I called him I. Wayne, big up I. Wayne and his family. Flew in their house, all right? Owl flew in their house, and the owl was injured, so they took care of it. They nursed the owl back to health and let it go. But for some reason, Wayne and his wife don't even know about this story. She named the owl Lincoln. She named him Lincoln. Yeah. She named the owl Lincoln. So one day, me and D-Row was hiking. We was hiking, man, going on this hike to go see this quartz crystal. And, man, a big, huge owl stopped us in our tracks. I mean, he was so huge and so hideous, we couldn't even look at him, man. We looked down. We looked down. We didn't even want to look at him, man. It was broad daylight. You know, owls are night flyers. It was broad daylight. This owl flew past our head and flew up in a tree and was made sure we seen him. He made sure we seen him, man. I'll tell you, man. D-Ro can tell you I'm not playing. It was incredible. So we got that call from Wayne. You know, we had our experience with the Buho. They had their experience with the Buho. They called him Lincoln. All the stuff is connected. So at first, Wayne didn't believe in our 44 and our crazy magical experiences that we've been having. But now, everywhere he go, he see 44. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he go, that owl flew in his house. Mm-hmm. D-Ro always called me, hey, man, Wayne had another 44 experience. You know what I mean? So, man, one
right.
I say 44, but it's whatever your magical occurrence is, don't put it to the side. Remember, what's that you got in your hand, man? Use it. Use what you got. You know what I'm saying? Use what you got. This brother had a technology in that movie, Sail to Earth. He had a technology in his hand, a geometric technology. So, you know, that's what we coming to, man. It's in your hand. You know what I'm saying? The gift is right in your hand, man. It's in your mind. It's in your hand. You can make your mentality turn into matter right in your hand. You could create something out of thin air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I'm looking at this thing. You know, it's beautiful, man. The courts give you an experience that's off-worldly. You know, you might not be able to talk about some of the things that you experience with these courts, you know. You know what I mean? But I realize that we're in the day where things that's hidden or secrets and all that, man, it's going to be very hard to keep a secret because people can feel you. People have gifts coming online where they sense of patience coming back. Their eyesight is coming back. People growing their hair back. People didn't have no teeth. Their teeth growing back. I mean, they already showed us a couple of years ago. Remember they had the show with the extraordinary people? People putting light bulbs in their mouth. The light bulb light up. You know, people picking up cars and stuff with their fingernail. You know what I'm saying? Just like, these people have been here, babe. They have been here. We have been here for many, many, many years. But now we're just online. We're online. Yeah. Yes, we're online.
Right. And that's right, and you're on time. You're right about that. And they putting all of this distraction in our face so we won't pay attention to really what we're capable of.
But at the same time, like, I'll go back to two ways of looking at it, babe. I always look at these things in the 2-2-2. You know, pay attention to the two. Just flip it around to both sides the way you look at it. Like I said, go back to the slap. Chris Rock was in New Jack City. You know what I'm saying? He was in Dogma. Just look at his life path. Look at Will Smith's life path, all the features that he'd been in. You know, he was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which, you know, we've been decoding that for years. You know, we know that's that low vibration stuff. You know what I'm saying? But just think about it on those terms, that this could be something that we should pay attention to. Remember, we have already walked away from many slaps in the face. We walked away from, you know, many slaps in the face to our community. You know, I could think of all the deaths, you know, all the moving out, the gentrification, all of that, you know, all the stuff that happened in our communities. It's like a slap in the face, but we just keep going. Like, you know, we just keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to stop that, man. Pay attention. Start paying attention. That's what I call it, babe. Man, better pay attention, man. I always say that, man. Pay attention, man. Pay attention. George Clinton said it's better to do something else than to pay attention, but still, I would say pay attention.
Okay.
Start there.
Okay.
Pay attention for real.
Yeah,
this is not a joke.
A flat wheel gets your attention.
She ain't there. Who walk away from a slap? Who gonna walk away from that? That person.
Right.
That person might plan something for you or your children, or your family, or anything, or your pets for years. You think they gonna forget that?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think,
people don't. People.
Baba is with us. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's bring him up. Let's go eight. Boy. Let's go Planet of the Apes.
Okay. Baba, is this you? 909-576.
Mod Hotel family. How y'all doing tonight?
Mayad Hotel. We're doing great.
Man.
Mayad Hotel.
Vibrations, Baba.
Bev, brother Eric L. Oh, man, the man, the myth, the legend, Eric L. Thank you for those legends.
Oh,
those,
man, that's
those
a myth. That's Will. That's Bob Marley, the legend. That's Bob Marley.
I heard that. But, yeah, you guys are rocking as usual. I'm just sitting back doing a little studies, listening to y'all, watching the little ones. So, you know, I was just sitting back listening. I mean, whenever y'all want to get started, you know, just let me know. But
you on.
I'm just trying to throw a little seasoning
you
in
on.
The pot. You said you want.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, you know. I'm just going to continue off of what you were just dropping, Brother Eric, is these stones have some, some extracurricular activity going on. Me and the Queen, we had our anniversary, and, of course, we went out to Vegas, to the Luxor, go celebrate a little bit. And while out there, I asked her right before I got on the craps tables, I said, you know what, did you bring your citrine with you? She got a big, nice, it looked like it. A straight meteorite with the layers and everything, with the smooth side, and then it, you know, kind of goes into the layers and then into the rocky gel, gem part. So she said, yeah, I got it. You want to hold it? I said, yeah, let me hold this real quick. I tell you, this has to be my most lucrative Vegas trip ever. And it was not a losing day. We say, what, three days? Not a losing day there. This is unimaginable, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm an avid player, so I play all the time. I've seen many people go broke, get wrecked. I've been close to that myself. But this time with that citrine, oh, man, it was the first time, and I'll never go back to a table without it. I'll let you know that. So, yeah, the powers is absolutely amazing. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, you shouldn't have been going to them tables in the first place. You know, that's gambling, and you know some things can happen. Well, things we're going to get in today, it's going to deal with all of that, because one thing you have to realize is that whenever you start taking things too seriously, the Joker will come slap you in the face and let you realize that it is all just a big game, a big masquerade, and you have to understand how to play the role, go in and outside of the role. So sometimes you're in the script, sometimes you're not in the script, but you are playing. And you have to understand this. And when we get into the science of it, the eyes will be opened. And, I love how you guys start talking about the tiger's eye, too, because a lot of what we discuss, in a minute, definitely going to touch on the eye and the eyes being open. Because as Brother Eric L. said, it's time to go apeshit. I have to quote my man MF Doom, rest in peace, Ma Karu, who says, you heard it on the radio, tape it, play it in your stereo, your crew will go apeshit. That's exactly what this is about to be tonight, because we will be doing a prequel, a precursor to Planet of the Apes. I'm not even sure how long this one is going to last. And I tell you, while doing the research on this one, I started getting emotional because it was hitting a little bit too close to home. And I think you guys are going to see exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not sure if I've heard anybody do a breakdown on the Planet of the Apes, which really, really surprises me, because it's almost like so in your face that it's hard to avoid it. But, you know, we'll try to do our little treatise on it and, bring everybody on into the fold and see where we're going here. So the first thing you
okay.
want to do, anybody got any questions or anything before I dig in, feel free. I'm just freestyle. So
go ahead. We listen.
All right. All right. Well, I got permission from the elders to speak, so here we go. Well, I was going to do this in a chronological order, but I said, you know what? Some stuff might get lost in translation. Some stuff might get boring. And I'm just going to do this in order of interest. So how did we even come to this? Well, I'll tell you, when I really got interested in it was when I saw the remake of the Planet of the Apes, okay? When I saw those, it blew up right in my face what was going on. And I said, wow, if they continue to make these, I wonder where it's going. And, of course, they made the whole, you know, the whole three of them, which was basically like a prequel to the original 1968 version of Planet of the Apes. And this is the one that had James Franco starring in it, that had Caesar the ape in it, and, you know, a lot of popular characters that we know of that are in it today. So in looking at that one, I said, wow, I got to do something on this someday. Time passes. This is back in, 2011 up to 2017. They're coming out with all these movies. Still nothing, you know, nothing comes to fruition. Then all of a sudden, start hearing about these apes like we've been talking about recently in the metaverse. So as I start doing the research into it, I said, wait a minute. The cycle has returned. You might say, what cycle are you talking about? When I get into breaking down what's going on here with the various cycles and how, like we talked about, everything is a game. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose some, but you live. You live to fight another day. Anybody who ever seen Friday know exactly where that came from. So what we're going to do is dive into those apes, and those apes we're talking about is the Bored Ape Yacht Club. We told you that's one of the most expensive NFTs out to this day, and it's really an exclusive circle of people who hold this particular NFT. It's a 10,000-piece collection, so you might say, wow, that's a lot of people, but if you look at the floor price of those being $300,000, it's not easy to get into this particular club. I'll give you a comparison. Berkshire Hathaway is the highest, is the stock of the highest amount. So people might say, wow, $500 stock, that's a lot. Ooh, my goodness. Ooh, $1,000 Tesla stock. Ooh, that's crazy. Oh, my God, Amazon, $3,000. This is out of control. You're not getting a Berkshire Hathaway, and this is owned by Warren Buffett and his pal, who I can't think of his name right now, but this has been his running man. They're both 100 years old, literally, and they just had their little annual event. $450,000 per stock, per share. So just for one, $450,000. So that's trumping any NFT that I can think of right now. So we want to talk about stocks as expensive, go talk to Berkshire Hathaway. And the returns have been ridiculous over the years. But what we're talking about today is the rise of the apes. Warren Buffett wouldn't be considered an ape. The total opposite. He's considered smart money or established money, the money that comes from the establishment. And we're talking about how everything was flipped on his head roughly 300 to 400 years ago. So that's what he represents. But what we're talking about is another type of ape that's coming up today that people did not see coming. And this ape is a little bit different. It's considered dumb money. Okay, so people who have suddenly, all of a sudden, gotten rich off of either NFTs, the stock market, which, by the way, had a tremendous day today after getting beat up for, wow, the last 10 months, I think. I think, you know, one of the shows we did a while back when we first started talking about things were looking kind of, you know, raw. It was about 10 months ago. And here we go again. Things are finally starting to wake back up. So it's been a long, long, long slide. So they might have given some of those returns back. But, hey, you know, they really position still, take it to the next level. So let's get into some of this, these apes that we're talking about here. Now, what you have to do is you need to go look up something called How the AMC Apes Cracked Wall Street. Because what it is, it's a little documentary that lets you in on the inside circle of the new money, the dumb money, what they consider. I mean, these are very intelligent people. But they considered dumb because they didn't make their money traditionally like we've been told to, okay, the slow and steady. It was real quick and fast. So check that out, but I'm just going to read a little bit here for you to kind of set the mood. So it starts off like this. A more than 100-year-old movie theater chain, AMC Entertainment, has been on a wild ride this year after losing $4.6 billion in revenue in 2020. The coronavirus pandemic pushed the company to the brink of bankruptcy, but today its market cap is more than $18 billion, thanks in part to a group of 4.1 million retail investors who now own 80% of the company. It goes on to say that some of these retail investors call themselves apes. So anybody who got Robinhood over this last year, who got TD Ameritrade, anything where you're able to trade and you've never done it before, we talked about how many people just now stepped into this investing arena, you would probably be considered an ape, okay? So this whole time we're going to be figuring out, am I the ape or am I the human? But we're not going to tell you the answer to that until we get to the end. So some of these retail investors call themselves apes, a play on Wall Street referring to them as dumb money. In a digital uprising on Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube, they have jumped into the stock, giving AMC a billion-dollar lifeline, okay? So you can basically see what people do when they start practicing, not necessarily a hive mentality, but when they put their mind together to accomplish a goal, you can be absolutely unstoppable, just like Brother Eric Hale was saying earlier. If you can put it into thought, put it into words, it can exist. It's as simple as that. Words of power. Heck out. That's coming up. So, you know, I'm not going to continue to read, but I'm going to give you this last paragraph where it says, CNBC's Melissa Lee interviewed Aaron about his plans to revive the company, as well as some of the ape's biggest influencers, Trey Collins, known as Trey Trades, Matt Kors, to hear why the apes think Wall Street is rigged and what they are trying to do about it. So I think we've always known that Wall Street is rigged, but once again, we're talking about playing a game here, and you have to understand how the game is played, when to get in, when to get out, when to play your role, when to not play your role. So that was what sparked my interest to start getting back into this ape saga and see and figure out what is the play on this side. You're talking about metaphysics. You're talking about two sides, the duality, the hall of the double ma'at, where one side is just a reflection of the other, but things are happening totally differently. This is always, this is like the Das in Hebrew mysticism, or this could be like the Netzachert in ancient Kemetic sciences. Also the Upside Down, if you ever watched Netflix's, Stranger Things. All right. What was the one movie where the people were living underground? It came out recently. Us and the Tethers, remember, they were living in the Upside Down too. So what is happening with this metaphysics of the ape? So, of course, we have to go back to some of our ancient science. And that's going to take us right back to ancient Kemet. And wouldn't you know, in ancient Kemet, the main ape was Jehudi. You might say, wait, I've always known Jehudi to be an ibis-headed deity, right? He's the god of science, and this is later on, Hermes, Trismegistus, and all that. Well, you're absolutely correct. But before all that, he was an ape deity, a baboon. As a matter of fact, when they have found sarcophagi and various temples, they just found one in 2020, dedicated to him, where they found priests and writings in the whole temple, which is pretty well preserved, but they found thousands and thousands of baboons also buried there too, because those were offerings to that particular deity. So I want to read to you a little bit. We're trying to figure out what the metaphysics of the apes are. Let's go back to this old ape, Jehudi, and let's see what he has to say. And what we did was we went to his oldest work, okay? The first thing we went to was just Wikipedia and just looked up Thoth. Thoth is Jehudi, essentially. And Thoth is the Greek version of Jehudi. So later on, he goes into Greek, and he represents them as the same type of deity, numbers, science, magic. But while in Kemet, this is what Jehudi did. I'll read you a little bit of how he appeared. So, attributes. It says, Jehudi's role in Kemetic mythology were many. He serves as a scribe of the gods, credited with the invention of writing, Merunetter. In the underworld, or the Duat, he appeared as an ape, Ani, the deity of equilibrium, who reported when the scales weighing the deceased heart against the feather, represent Ma'at, was exactly even. So he was able to see both sides. But then if you look at his attributes, he was absolutely amazing. Let's keep going. The ancient Egyptians regarded Jehudi as one, self-begotten, self-produced. He was the master of both the physical and the moral divine law, making proper use of Ma'at. That was his consort, by the way. He is credited with making the calculations for the establishment of the heavens, stars, earth, and everything in them. The Chemites credited him as the author of all works, science, religion, philosophy, and magic. The Greeks further declared him the inventor of astronomy, astrology, science of numbers, math, geometry, surveying, medicine, botany, and theology, civilized government, alphabet, reading, writing, and oratory. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's just basically human life right there. They further claimed he was the true author of every work, of every branch of knowledge, human and divine. So he basically wrote everything on the planet, according to the ancestors. But what is it about this ape that's so special that would give him all of these particular powers? And why is he represented like that? Well, to kind of look at it, we went into what they indicated was his oldest surviving work. So we had to go to the pyramid text, and we had to look up chapter 175. So if you have a Meruneter, or if you have the, you know, also known as the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Wallace Budge version, you can go ahead and open up to chapter 175. And this is the title of it, Chapter for Not Dying Again. Chapter for Not Dying Again. Wow. This might be pretty interesting. So I'm going to go through a little bit of this, so bear with me. But it should be pretty enlightening what I drop. And let me just set up the scene for you. This is Ani's papyrus. So he's going through the hall of, well, he's about to get to the hall of Ma'at, and he stops to talk to Atum. And while he's talking to Atum, Atum is answering some questions to him. Okay? So it starts off like this. O Jehudi, what is it that has come about through the children of Nut? They have made war. They have raised up tumult. They have done wrong. They have created rebellion. They have done slaughter. They have created imprisonment. They have reduced what was great to what is little in all that we have made. Show greatness, O Jehudi. So says Atum. You shall not witness wrongdoings. You shall not suffer it. Shorten their years. Cut short their months, because they have done hidden damage to all that you have made. I have your palette, O Jehudi. I bring your ink pot. I am not among those who have done hidden damage, and none will harm on me. Basically, he's setting up to say, well, we have this establishment who has done all these things, all these wrongdoings, and you have to cut short their days. You have to battle them back. Yeah, they might be winning right now, but remember, you was great before, and somehow they have turned what you had made great into almost nothing. So now what? So then Ani says, oh, Atum, how comes it that I travel to a desert which has no water, no air, and which is deep, dark, and unsearchable? Atum basically says this, live in it in content. That's it. Ani responds by saying, but there's no digging here. Basically digging, having sex, no love making. Atum says, I have given spirit being instead of water, air, and love making, contentment in place of bread and beer. So says Atum, do not be sorry for yourself, for I will not suffer you. So then Ani says, but every god has taken his place in the bark of a million years. So then Atum is getting upset now. He's like, okay, I got this human asking me all these dumb human questions. He's about to become a god, and he asked me about some digging and some eating. So he says, your seed now belongs to your son, Heru. So says Atum, and he will dispatch the elders. He will rule from your seed. He will inherit the throne, which is in the island of fire. That little section right there is basically saying your offspring is your DNA. You continue to live through that. So, yeah, you might transition, but you still live it because the same DNA that's in you is in your offspring, in your relatives, in the ancestors. So then Ani responds and says, command that I may see his equal, for my face will see the face of the Lord of all. What will be the duration of my life? So said he. Basically, he's saying, well, show me this this deity. I really want to know, you know, how long I'm actually going to live. I mean, is this real or is it not? So Atum says, you shall be for millions and millions of years and a lifetime of millions of years. I will dispatch the elders and destroy all that I have made. The earth shall return to the primordial water, to the surging flood, as in its original state. Very interesting. But I will remain with the Tsar. I will transform myself into something else, namely a serpent without men knowing or the gods seeing. We're going to come back to that serpent piece because people like to be scared of the serpent. But that serpent represents some interesting stuff in this saga. So how good is what I have done for a Tsar, even more than for all the rest of the deities? I have given him the desert, and his son Heru is the heir to his throne, which is an island of fire, basically a pyramid. I have made what appertains to his place in the bark of millions of years, and Heru is firm on his throne in order to found his establishments. And then, of course, Ani, being a human again, says, but the soul of Set will travel further than all the deities. Atum responds, I have caused his soul, which is in the bark, to be restrained, so that the body of the deities of that deity may be refrained. Ani, now feeling somewhat eased, closes the chapter out by saying, O Father Tsar, do for me what your father Ra did for you, so that I may be long lived on earth, that my throne may be well founded, that my heir may be in good health, that my tomb may be long enduring, and that these servants of mine be on earth. Let my enemies be split open. May the scorpion be on their bones, for I am your son. I owe my father Ra. Do this for me for the sake of my life, welfare, and health, also known as Anku Jaseneb. For Heru is firmly established on his throne, and let my lifetime come to attain to the blessed abode. The end. This is the oldest works of Jehudi. And just to paraphrase what just happened here, you have a man who had just left his physical body, and he about to travel through the Duat into the Hall of the Double Ma'at so that he can then go to the Sekhet Aru, or the Fields of Peace. When he gets there, he's asking all these human questions. Why am I here? Am I going to be able to eat? Am I going to be able to make love? Am I going to be able to do X, Y, and Z? Where happened to all my human stuff? And basically, Atum just says, look, I've given you everything. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about digging. All you have to worry about is joining us in your bark for millions and millions of years. But no, that your site will be established back on earth through who you leave there. Okay. Also, I don't know if y'all caught that or not, through your altar being kept up. So make sure you pouring those libations. Make sure you got pictures of your ancestors up. Make sure you dropping them some donuts. Give them an orange. Spray something good on there that smells good. Sing to it. A voice offering was one of the most powerful offerings you could give the ancestors. So we go through the oldest work of Jehudi. And remember, it started off talking about an ape, right? This is back when he was an ape style and how he was holding it down. So he's holding down the Duat. He's telling you, yeah, these people have had establishments, but you will again rise up in this, what we call these intermediate periods and periods of Ma'at, basically a balance. So then that brings me back to my Vegas trip where we brought the citrine through, and it actually really, really, really helped us. And then some people saying, well, you know, gambling is the devil, this is this and that. And we say, well, you know, if you really know what the devil was, you actually were absolutely correct, because what if God was the devil? But that's a whole other discussion. We're about to go into a little bit of mythology where we try to find out what happened with the calendar, okay? And this is Jehudi in its ape form again. And this one is really quick. It's definitely not as long as the last one. Goes a little something like this. So Kemetic mythology credits Jehudi with the creation of the 365-day calendar. Originally, according to the myth, the year was only 360 days long, and Nut was sterile during these days, unable to bear children. So what did Jehudi do? He went to the tables, and he gambled with the moon for 1/72nd of its light, also known as 5 days. And guess what? He won. So during those 5 days, he basically had a celebration for Geb, Nut, Asar, Set, Aset, and Neptet. So we talking about what is godly, what is devilly, what is good, and what is evil. Don't worry about playing games, because that's all the gods do is play games. You might say, what are you talking about, all the gods do is play games? We talked about this last time. Just imagine if you was a god, you could do whatever you wanted to do, whenever you wanted to do it. You knew it was about to happen because you know everything that was going to happen. You know everything that has happened because you were God too. Wait a minute. Things could get real boring real quick, and you're supposed to exist like this for millions and millions of years? So what do the gods do? They play games. Nobody wants to have same things happen every single day over and over again. It's just part of the psychosis. I shouldn't say psychosis, but the psyche of existence. I don't care if you're an animal. I don't care if you're a human being. Everything will do something to throw off its routine just a little bit, just to see what's going to happen. It's called push-button surprise. The only way I could really feel alive, excited, is if I do something where I don't have control no more. And that's where you talk about luck. That's where you talk about games. And you'll see this theme coming up over and over again about how do you play the game. So the apes that's coming back up into this metaverse where we going, they understand in the game, and they change in the game from those who have been established, those who have created rebellion, those who have done wrong, those who have done slaughter, those who have created imprisonment, those that have reduced what is great to what is little, and all that we have made. This is straight off the pyramid text, okay? So that's where we take another little journey down on into the planet of the apes, okay? Because in the planet of the apes, we start to really see clearly where the division is. Things being used to kind of still magic to be used on us for some devious purposes, okay? But that don't mean we can't take it back. So what do I have to do? I went to an article called The Untold Truth of Planet of the Apes. So this has some very interesting information in it. I'm going to bring it to y'all right here. One thing I didn't even know is, and I should have known this. I mean, I've seen the movie Planet of the Apes when I was little, okay? I don't remember much of what happened in it. Actually, I should have done a little bit more research before we started today, but guess what? We'll be back with this information, so this ain't going to be the last time. But my man, Rod Serling, had his hands in putting together. And if you don't know who Rod Serling is, I'm going to have to shout out MF Doom again, where he says, I like to say hi to Sci-Fly the Odd Merlin. That's quick to whip up a script like Rod Serling. Rod Serling is the writer on The Twilight Zone. You've seen him on every episode smoking his little cigarette. If you ever watch it, you can watch the whole episode and still not know what's going on. Listen to his intro and listen to his outros, it'll floor you every time. Every time. Every time I listen to it, I sit there rubbing my head like, man, this Jew had the hekau. He had the words of power. But then again, you look at what he was studying and what type of stuff he put out, and, you know, you see where he gets it all from. So let's read a little bit about how he got involved in this project. This is the interesting part about this whole movie. This is the original one, 1968. It was written by a French spy. Somehow everything that becomes a cultural icon is written by some type of spy or some type of double agent. It's amazing to me. But his name was Pierre Boulez, and he was a profoundly Anglophile, which means that he loved England. He was always reading about it. Matter of fact, he loved it so much that he went to Southeast Asia so that he could work as a spy against the Southeast Asians. He ended up trying to blow up a ship or do something crazy. He got caught, put in imprisonment for lifetime of hard labor. Somehow he escaped 2 years later, and that's when he started writing novels. Amazing stuff. So he wrote it in 1964, and then later on it turned into The Planet of the Apes. So where does Rod Serling come in? He comes in around 72 when they're about to make it into a screenplay. And what Rod Serling said was, it was abundantly clear that Boulez was not a science fiction writer. So people might say, well, this seems like science fiction for us to be in the future or in the past with these monkeys who can talk with people they're living civilized. Well, you know, nobody really said what time it was in or what was going on. He said that he put it together more as a moral piece than as a science fiction piece. But Rod Serling went on to say this: as talented and creative a man as Boulle is, he does not have the deftness of a science fiction writer. Boulle's book was a prolonged allegory about morality more than it was a stunning science fiction piece, but it contained within its structure a walloping science fiction idea. So basically what he's saying is it was more about the people and who the apes represented and who the people represented than it really was about science fiction, but that's just what he used to tell the story. So they brought Rod Serling in to add the heck out ooh in there. So we'll get to that in a second. But this part is also interesting. Listen to this. It says, according to Serling, a nickel-and-dime outfit named the King Brothers first approached him about writing a screenplay for the Planet of the Apes. So he just had some random group called the King Brothers come up to him one day and say, would you write this for me? Just imagine that. Some secret society walks up to you on the street and says, you know what, we got the screenplay. We want you to write it and put it together. It sounds like stuff out of science fiction, but this is straight, raw truths. So he said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And he put some real interesting twists in it. And it's going to be a little bit of spoiler alerts in here, but I have to put these in here in order to tell you the tale of what's going on. So originally, at the end, the people who are narrating the Planet of the Apes, you find out that those people themselves are not human, but are actually apes. When that hit everybody in the books, it blew everybody's mind out the water. But then further along, Rod Serling switched it up. He said, no, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is, at the end of the movie, we're going to run into the ocean. And remember, we talked about, right off the pyramid text, Atum said, I will turn all this back into water. As a matter of fact, word for word, he said, the earth shall return to the primordial water, to the surging flood, as in its original state. Okay, that's what he said. At the end of the movie, this is what Rod Serling did. He put the Statue of Liberty inside of an ocean that at the end of the movie, the apes ride up to on a beach, and they see the Statue of Liberty. So you realize now that this is all taking place in the future. It's not in the past. It's not some, you know, outside idea. This is, you know, this has happened. So much so that the Statue of Liberty is old. It's now in the ocean, and it's now almost washed up on the beach. Okay, so that was the big twist that Rod Serling threw up in there that wasn't originally in there. But it's very, very interesting because it plays right along with the ancient scripts. So the ancient scripts said everything was going to get turned over by the apes again, and right here we have Rod Serling doing the same thing. Yeah, the apes have won this time, and you can tell the Statue of Liberty being in the water. You return everything back to its original form. So we bring it back up to today. And how what are we doing on time, Sister Bev? I'm just going into my own world here.
No, we right there with you. You have 25 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, just let me know if you need me to do anything, a commercial break or anything like that. But,
mm-mm.
Okay.
We riding right with you.
All right. Well, here we go. So Rod Serling also reimagined the ape society as a semi-primitive, semi-civilized one, okay? Because in the first one, he had it a high society. Basically, they was living in New York City, penthouse-style metropolis, just chilling. And he said, no, that doesn't make any sense. This has to be, it has to be like either After Earth or the other movie with my man, the slap in it, I Am Legend. If you look at that movie too, it was like half civilized, half primitive, because you had tigers and deers chasing each other in the middle of, I think he was in New York City or wherever he was, but yet it was obviously a major metropolitan area. It had high rises, it had sidewalks, it had taxis, but nature overtook it. All the grass grew out, trees grew, it looked like wilderness, literally inside of the city. So that was kind of a Rod Serling-esque type of situation there. So, in bringing it back up today, we want to go to today's Hekau, okay? Today's Hekau, or today's magic, is basically words of power, okay? We talk about these words of power. And what I want to do is I'm going to bring up this list of words I was telling y'all about the last time I was on, where there's these new words, phrases, this new magic that's coming out that has a whole new meaning, and it's only used by these apes, okay, these apes of Wall Street that's coming up, which has included you and me, okay? So it's about 30 words, but I'm going to pick a few off of here that I think the people should know and be familiar with in case they run across them in their everyday life. Of course, the first one is ape. Now, what does it mean to ape into something? Ape means to invest heavily into something. So if somebody comes up to you and says, man, I'm about to ape into some of this this Twitter because I know Elon Musk is about to buy it, even though he's having second guesses about that. That's not important. You investing in something heavily is aping into it. I'm about to ape into one of these Bored Ape Yacht Clubs. I'm about to ape into some of this KFC, if that's your preference, whatever you want to eat. Okay, so when you ape into something, you basically go in heavy into it. To round out the animals, and most people might be familiar with these, but a bullish person is somebody who has a positive outlook on the market. Somebody who's bearish has a negative outlook. Okay, but then we have another one that's pretty interesting, and that's to moon. The moon means the price is going up fast. Basically, a rocket is going to the moon. And one thing that we did not connect was that Yehudi, in his form of an ape, is actually a moon deity. And remember, when he played dice, he shot for 1/72nd of the moon's light, which was actually 5 days. And in doing so, he was able to throw a celebration at the end of the 365-day calendar with the last 5 days. So we got this connection with ape and moon again. So basically when the price is going up fast, something is mooning. So you might say, oh, man, if you look at the stock market today, it was mooning. Look at the NASDAQ, almost up 4%, it was mooning. The Dow Jones up 2 to 1.5%, it was mooning. All three major indexes, S&P was mooning. So you got apes, bullish, bearish, mooning. One that you really need to be familiar with, though, just like we're doing here, is Dior. D-Y-O-R, also known as do your own research. It don't matter what we say on here, don't matter what you read, what you come across, continue to do your own research because it's never going to hit you the way it hits you unless you are the one finding it out with your own curiosity. Don't instruct a fool lest you be called a fool. Basically, that means don't be trying to get information to people who don't want it, because that's going to make you a fool. Obviously, they don't want it for a reason. You give it to people who are actually coming to use it. Okay? So do your own research. Nothing hits harder to you than when you do it yourself. And the last one is very, very interesting because you'll see this word a lot too, and it's degen. Okay? Oh, I'm a degen. I'm a degen this. What is a degen? Literally stands for a degenerate. Okay? When we're talking about apes, we're talking about a degenerate life form, so we think, okay? Not everybody thinks that way. But these people call themselves degenerate gamblers, okay? That's what this is coming from. And we talked about Yehudi. I wouldn't say he's a degenerate gambler, but he definitely did play on the tables from time to time like your boy Bobbykin too. So we have moon, we have the apes, you have to do your own research, know if things are bullish, and if things are bearish. Okay, so we're just going to stop at those for right now. But if you see those come across your feed, you will definitely be able to key in on those really quick. And like I said, the memes that are coming out now, that is the new magic. So you have to be familiar with this to know what's going on around you. Okay, we stepping on into the metaverse. So you have to be keen on this stuff, okay? This is the double ma'at. It is your everyday life. It is the metaverse. That's the hall of the double ma'at right now. Okay. Now, let's continue, and let's take it to where everything starts to kind of gel. And actually, before I go there, before I come to the gel piece, which is the rise of the Planet of the Apes when we hit 2011, when things really start to get turned up. I'm going to do this little connection. We tapped into Moon real quick, and a couple of weeks ago, I would say what, about a month ago, we had the Black Moon. And you might say, well, what is a Black Moon? Black Moon happens anytime you have two new moons in one calendar month. Two new moons in one calendar month. The second one is a Black Moon. Doesn't happen often, but when it does, be on the lookout. As a matter of fact, we have a Blood Moon coming up in a couple of days, which is a total lunar eclipse where the sun or the moon will appear red. So it's been a lot of business going on with the moon lately. So we have these apes going on. We have the moon going on. We really have to understand what time it is and what's going on around us. So let's continue, because what you'll find is that Disney, they always own it. Matter of fact, today's Friday the 13th. Jacques de Molay got burnt up. The Order of the de Molay is the young boys in the Masons, okay? And who was the Mason? Your man, Walt Disney. So nowadays, the younger women also have a club. And I have somebody who actually went through this, who he was a de Molay growing up. And I have to bring him on the show. He's actually a Hispanic brother, but he's on it. But he went up through this, so he kind of knows the inner workings. And I'm going to have to invite him onto the show one day just to give you guys a breakdown of what he saw from the inside, okay, of these secret societies and how they do their rituals and everything else like that in their group.
Oh, that would be good.
Okay, and I put it in his ear, but I was like, I have to talk to the village first before I really seal this.
Oh,
yeah. So I'm going to try to put that one together. That's going to be dynamite right there.
Okay.
And he don't like him. He's very well-spoken. He's no joke. So we're gonna put that one together. So
okay,
you know, we got all the moon stuff going on. We got Friday the 13th going on. And then here we go with Disney hitting us with Moon Knight. Now, have y'all done any discussions on Moon Knight, Sister Bev? I would think so by now.
Dr. Robert X have. You keep telling us to look at it. I gotta go check it out.
Yeah, you do. So that's good. So he didn't already kind of filled the village in on what we're dealing with here. But he's basically telling you it's about Khonsu, who, and this is the interesting part. Khonsu is also a moon deity in ancient Kemet, but he represents the childlike moon deity. Okay. Jehudi was like the older, established moon deity, but they both did the same things. Khonsu, if you watch the particular series, the man has what's called dissociative identity disorder. This is the Moon Knight. Okay, his name is Mark Spector. So basically, that's what we would think of as multi-personality disorder, where he goes from one personality to another depending on the situation. But he also has – basically, the secret is when he turns back into a child and he goes back into his childhood to figure out what happened to him and how he became who he is today. So when that part happens in the series, that's when everything clicks for him. So when he goes and gets Khonsu, he's going to get the inner child because Khonsu is represented as the moon child, okay? So we have to see how all this stuff connects up. But let's keep on going. We connected Khonsu up in the Moon Knight. I think I'm going to save the Moon Knight stuff because Brother Robert X probably already tapped into all of that. And probably I'm going to save some of the Khonsu stuff for another time as well. But we will come back just to touch on, just to make sure everybody is up to date on that. But let's now bring everything together. And this is where we got the rise of the Planet of the Apes. And this came out in 2011, okay? And I'm just going to give you the synopsis or the plot on this one. And just the plot is, wow, it's enough to blow the brains out, especially how it ends. This one also was a little bit long, but if you listen, man, you're going to want to watch the movies all the way through. So watch this. In Frisco, a pharmaceutical chemist named William Rodman is testing a viral-based drug, ALZ-112, on chimpanzees at the biotech company Genesis to find a cure for Alzheimer's disease. Okay, that's what set everything up. We already got needles. We already got shots right in the first line. So let's keep going. He gives a shot to a chimpanzee named, what? Bright Eyes. You were talking about the tiger's eye earlier. Jehudi is also known as the restorer of the eye. because remember, he also put Haru's eye back in after Set had ripped it out, even though Haru ripped one of Set's testicles off. Okay. ALZ-112 is given to a chimpanzee named Bright Eyes, greatly increasing her intelligence. However, during Will's presentation for the drug, Bright Eyes is forced from her cage. She goes on a rampage and is shot to death. His boss terminates the project and has the chimpanzees euthanized, okay, so they can't have no more children. However, Will's assistant, Robert Franklin, reveals the reason for Bright Eyes' rampage was that she had recently given birth to an infant. Will reluctantly takes on this chimpanzee, eventually giving him the name Caesar. Discovering that Caesar has inherited his mother's intelligence through being exposed to ALZ-112 before birth, Will decides to raise him. Now, if there's one thing that we have learned from Brother X, it is that when we look at movies where you have the women who are addicted to drugs or who own some drugs somehow, the babies come out with these superpowers. No different than what just happened to Caesar and his mama Bright Eyes, okay? They said he got the intelligence because he was exposed to the ALZ before birth. So let's continue. 3 years pass. Caesar becomes highly intelligent.
Bob,
oh, go ahead. Yes, yes.
We have 12 minutes, and I want to tell the people that's listening on the Internet to call in so they can hear
okay.
the rest of it over the telephone. And the number is 323-642-1586. And so you can hear this is really interesting. And Baba, also tell them about your school before we go back to this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I am the clinical director of the Jed Institute of Learning. We are an educational service provider specializing in African-centered education, especially the seven liberal arts. We have a preschool sign-up going on for anybody that's before the age of seven that will be starting this upcoming 22-23 school year. So make sure you check us out at JediLearning.com, JediLearning.com. You can also contact us at 909-576-0170. We are also putting together information on parenting, psychology, and education. And this is for the entire village. So definitely go check it out. Like I said, we just revamped the website, and it's up and running now. So go check the new one out and give us feedback on, you know, how everything looks, how everything is working. And, you know, hopefully you reach out to us and connect. We've had, and I have to thank Sister Bev every time I come on, because she has really pointed a lot of people in our direction who is looking for that type of information. We see what goes on with the schools every day, our children's psychology every day, our children's behavior every day. And now we have some alternatives, or at least some supplements. You don't have to completely replace what you got going on, but this is might be something you want to supplement it with. Okay. So thank you for the opportunity, Sister Beth, to go ahead and shout
out
to Jedi Learning.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for your work.
Problem.
All right, this is
thank
interesting.
You.
We got to go ahead with this. And I want to say congratulations to you and your queen for your celebrations also.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I definitely
your
let
anniversary.
Her know, too. She, I
yes.
appreciate it. I will definitely let her know because she listens to the show, too, and she knows everybody that comes on. She knows you and your voice. So
okay.
She'll be happy to hear about it. And I cannot
right.
leave Brother Eric L. out. He sent our students some of those brilliant stones, and I passed them out, and you should see their faces when they got them. It's literally like they got little pots of gold. They was ecstatic. So, man, thank you again, brother.
Excellent.
I appreciate it. So, okay. Well, let me go ahead and get back to, let me see where I was at on the second paragraph, pick right back up. We left off. And remember, we're bringing everything back to the equilibrium. Okay? So we're in the Hall of Double Ma'at. We're leaving, you know, everyday reality, but we're also leaving the underground, and we kind of bringing everything together right now. Okay? So now this is 5 years later, and we're talking about Caesar again, and this is the reboot of the whole Planet of the Apes saga. Okay. So 5 years later, Caesar, now a young adolescent, questions if he is a pet and learns of his origins from Will. Now, that part right there is where I start to get a little bit emotional, because I think, especially listening to this show, have this awakening where our eyes are opened and we start to wonder, what is really going on here? You know, I see my people. I see people that look like me, who have my background, who speak and talk and love the same things I do. And we get an ass kicking from east to, you know, left coast. What is the deal? So basically, Caesar has the same awakening. He basically getting conscious is what's going on. Okay, so he's waking up and he's like, oh, and then he learns of his origins. Okay, so that's when we start listening to Dr. Clark, and we start digging in the crates, and we start listening to Francis Chris Wilson. We start waking up and we start saying, oh, that's the deal. So Caesar goes through this, okay? Meanwhile, Charles' condition returns as his immune system becomes resistant, though, to the ALZ-112. Caesar injures an aggressive neighbor, they, you know, while defending his master, basically. As a result, animal control arrives, which is the police, and they take him away to a primate shelter. He gets locked up in the pen. Due to his difference in appearance and relative lack of interaction with the other apes, Caesar is tormented by the alpha chimps, okay? One of them named Rocket. And, of course, the guard. The guard is always hating on the inmates. We know how that goes. Even though one guard just helped an inmate break out not too long ago, a couple of days ago, I know. I was probably seeing that. That was crazy. However,
yeah.
Caesar also befriends – oh, so you've seen that?
Yeah, she killed herself.
Yeah, it was – definitely a sad ending, but, you know, these things do happen. So, however, Caesar also befriends Maurice, a former circus orangutan who knows sign language. Caesar learns how to unlock his cage. He gets out, and he accesses the common era. With the assistance of one of his homeboys, a gorilla named Buck, he confronts Rocket and claims the position of the alpha chimp. Meanwhile, Jacobs clears the development of more powerful gas version of ALZ-113. Okay, he stepped it up. It's not just a injection anymore. Now the gas is coming out, which, if we start to do a little bit of projection, that's something we might want to look out for. They try to hit us with the AstraZeneca. They try to hit us with the Pfizer. They try to hit us with the Johnson & Johnson through mainly injections. But what we might want to start watching out for now is any type of gas that might be produced. Okay, so just keep your eyes peeled for that. And Will tells him it can also improve intelligence. Will takes the drug home for his father, but his father declines the further treatment and dies overnight. Okay, his father was hard. After attempting to test the drug on a scared, vulnerable test subject called Koba, and by the way, we're going to bring Koba back in a future episode. So remember Koba. But just to give you guys a hint, Koba in this situation is like Scar is to Simba. Basically, he's the uncle, or he's like Seth, battles the son for the slain father's throne. Okay, so that's who Koba is. But there's a reason Koba is used and why that name is used, because it is one of the last African strongholds coming out of Angola to fight against the Dutch, okay? One, and it primarily featured in the book Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. So we'll come back to that at another time, though. So Franklin becomes exposed to ALZ-113 and becomes ill. Attempted to warn Will at his home, he sneezes blood onto a Hunsaker and is later discovered dead. Will attempts to reclaim Caesar, but Caesar instead decides to stay and steals the ALZ-113 canisters from Will's house, and then he enhances the intelligence of the other apes in the sanctuary. Okay? When Dodge attempts to get him back into his cage, Caesar speaks for the first time, saying no. Okay, this is the first time they realize, okay, this is more than meets the eye. And he fights with Dodge while freeing the apes, which inadvertently leads to Dodge's death. The apes flee the facility, releasing Koba and the remaining apes from Gen Sys and freeing more apes from the San Francisco Zoo. Okay. And this is the part where it all kind of comes to a head. Remember, this is just the first out of the trilogy. Okay, but let me read this last paragraph for you. A battle ensues as the apes fight their way past the police blockade on the Golden Gate Bridge in an attempt to escape into the Redwood Forest. To rescue Caesar, Buck jumps into a police helicopter in which Jacobs is riding, wrecking the helicopter at the cost of his life. Cobra then pushes Jacobs into the Golden Gate straight to his death. As the apes find their way into the forest, Will catches up to him in a stolen police car and warns Caesar that the humans will hunt them down, begging him to return home. In response, and this is, again, when I almost broke down, Caesar hugs him and says, Caesar is home. Because it reminds me of those Maroons that no matter how many times people told them to capitulate and just give it up and just come back into society and just be a slave, they said, no, I'm not having it. I will stay out here and rough it and make my own new civilization with my people than to go back and deal with you as a slave. It's not happening. So that part right there really touched me. And I think we can learn a lot from that and not always happen to take the handouts that are given to us or to try to be equal to. It's really about doing what's best for you and what has brought you to where you are today and paying respect to that, no matter where it came from. You got to love the crust of where you came from. You can't always love the cream. You got to love the crust too. Okay, so, but then it goes on. So Caesar, after he says he is home, Will, realizing that this is their last goodbye, respects Caesar's wishes. The apes embrace their new lifestyle in the forest as news and police helicopters fly over San Francisco. And then this one to take another turn. Meanwhile, Hunsaker, now infected with ALZ-113, arrives at San Francisco International Airport. Back over there. Okay. He arrives at San Francisco International Airport for his flight to Paris. He eventually spreads the virus around the globe to international flight routes, leading to a deadly pandemic. And that's when I said, okay, game is over. We're going to close it out right here because it's just about to get started in pop-off. Just about to get started in pop-off.
Okay.
So
right.
We have to leave people wanting a little bit more, plus we also running out of time. But
okay.
One thing I will do, though, just to hit it home just a little bit more, just so the people don't have too many questions about what's going on here, I had to do a little research on the actual original movie, and there was a little piece in there that I thought was really interesting, and I want to read it to you. And it's about, once again, who the apes are and who the humans are. So let me see if I can go ahead and pull it up. The way I have this article here is kind of weird, but I think I should be able to get right to it. Just bear with me 1 second, because here it go, right here. Okay, so yeah, this is the original one. Okay. So there is a whole breakdown about some themes that come through the Planet of the Apes and what those themes really mean and, you know, do they really exist or not. And the main theme is about racism, obviously, as we can see here, with who do you think being the apes and who do you think being the humans, and the constant struggle of the back and forth where they have, once again, quoting the, the pyramid text, but have raised up tumult, made war, done wrong, created rebellion, done slaughter, created imprisonment, reduced what was great to what is little and all that we have made. Okay, so that there's these people, but then there's those other people who are coming back, okay, to try to reclaim what was once theirs. And it's the battle of them going back and forth, okay? And I'm still looking for my little section. I think it'll be better if I just did it this way. So just hold on with me for 1 second. Oh, I think I might have had it here the whole time. Sorry about that, Sister Beth. I just want to make sure I get this right piece for you. I don't want to leave the fam lacking at all. It should be right here. But, okay, I'm not going to leave the fam. You wait. But basically everything I just summed up to you was, about the battle between those two entities. And in the future, just to let you know what's kind of coming up, we're going to get more deep into the Bored Ape Yacht Club. We're going to get deeper into Khonsu and Jehudi, and we're obviously going to get deeper into the Planet of the Apes trilogy and who the sides are and what they really mean. One thing I did leave out, too, is we're actually going to do some study on actual apes. And I'm going to say that part to the end because I think that's the part that's really going to flip people's mind because that's the actual realistic part, okay? But, yeah, it's just absolutely fascinating. So I know we also coming up on 8:30, and we were just running out of time. So I'm going to go ahead and close it out here. But make sure if there's 12 monkeys on the stage, it's hard to see who's a gorilla. But make sure that your eyes is open, and you will see.
Yes, and so you got us. This is a cliffhanger, so you have to come back next week and finish it.
Okay. You got my word. I'll be back. I will be back.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Baba Kintu and Eric.
Absolutely.
Thank you, too, for your information.
Yeah, Baba, you, man, that Planet of the Apes, you know, Cobra and Rocket, at the end of that one in Frisco when they on the Bay Bridge, you notice that they got a hold of Jacob, the big head scientist, Yakub. They got a hold of him.
Why you say that on it? Of course you was going to come. I was wishing you was coming in while I was dropping so you could have just bounced some more back and forth. Man.
Hey, man, they going
stuff
in
like that,
and them Planet of the Apes, man. They don't leave nothing out. They be, and not only that,
remember, the humans had to go to the apes for the power in the water.
Right, absolutely. They had all the fun.
Table turned.
Right, just like that. Yeah, absolutely. Man, you got to be on the next one, brother. You got to participate on the next one because I know you got some jewels to drop on us too, literally.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm learning. I'm sitting back learning, man. I love being the student, man. The student is the best position to be in, man. I love it, man. You was going in. And, you know, it's like I say, it's so prevalent, man. It's these our totems, our animal totems, the water, you know, the cosmic rays, all of that is information to us. That's what Goddess Nut is. She's nutrition, you know. She feeds us the Zodiac. Mm. She gives us duology. She gives us knowledge of bones, tissue, skin, you know.
Right.
Like you say, going to the eyes, you know, being able to see again,
right.
You know. So, yeah, man, it's all right on time, Baba. You know, we look forward to the next piece. And
absolutely.
And, I went out with some tones from my gong last week. I'd love to do that again. Beverly, if we have a little time, I want to give us a couple of gongs.
No, go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, man. Yeah, and man, this was a hot one, man. We was enjoying those Mayfields, those different fields. May these sounds take us yet to another dimension and field. We got the dub going in the background. Let me let y'all hear some dub. Always bubbling, always. All right, here we go.
Bless, bless.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for that. So,
yes,
thank you, Baba. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Aaron.
Ashe, thank you.
Ashe, we look forward to next week so you can continue on this journey with the eight. I got to go back and look at that movie again. We'll look at 2011.
Yeah,
they've been going in them eggs. Well, they've been going in with the name,
right.
Sign language. So
mm-hmm.
Well, thanks everyone. We will return next week. So, thank both of you. Thank family for listening, and we will continue this. Be back Monday. Better love, everyone.
Better love.
Better love.
For a generous fee.